all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. Today's episode is different. Most of the conversations that we've had on this show have been around building positive relationships within your network. But what happens when a relationship is not so positive, especially in the workplace? With my guests, Kira LaFond and Denise Thomas, we will be diving into the topic of mean girls in the work environment. Kira LaFond is market president and publisher of the Milwaukee Business Journal. She oversees a team of talented professionals who help readers grow their businesses, advance their careers, and simplify their professional lives. Previously, Kira served as Milwaukee Business Journal Director of Advertising for 2 years. She spent the balance of her 30-plus year career in radio sales and management, where she led teams of as many as 100. Kira never expected to leave radio, but when the opportunity to lead the Milwaukee Business Journal came up, she jumped on it. And Denise Thomas is an active communications consultant, coaching professionals on utilizing effective communication techniques in order to drive advancement in their career and innovation across her business. Her portfolio of corporate clients includes Associated Bank, GE Healthcare, and Northwestern Mutual. Kira and Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm very excited for this conversation today. Kira, why don't you share a little bit more about your background with our listeners?
Well, I went to college and was started out with a journalism degree, but changed that quickly and ended up working at the local radio station down in Carbondale, Illinois, and spent the vast majority of my career in sales and management at radio stations in southern Illinois, down into the Chicago suburbs and throughout Milwaukee. But I've had this fandom for the Milwaukee Business Journal. And so when this came up, I really just had to give it a shot. And I love it so much. So I'm kind of back to my journalism roots. My dad was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune and my mom wrote for Ann Landers. And so kind of feel like I came home. even though I don't do a lot of writing for the Business Journal, I do run the business of it. But I've managed people throughout my entire career and have worked with hundreds of other people. And so this topic's very intriguing to me.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much. Denise, why don't you share a little bit about your background for our listeners?
Sure. And again, thank you so much, Lori. I am a huge fan of both you and Kira, so it's awesome to be here. And for the listeners, just so you know, both Kira and Lori look phenomenal. They are bringing their A game in fashion today. Just a background in terms of what I do. I am a talker. I have loved to talk since I was 3 years old. And as I've shared with many people, I'm the person where I did well in school, but my teachers would always say, Denise talks too much. And I was fortunate to have parents, especially my mother, that turned that, what you call lemon, into lemonade. Mm-hmm. So throughout the past 14 to 17 years, I've been fortunate to work for some pretty big companies, including GE, PepsiCo, recently Miller Coors. And in August, I decided to take the leap of faith and pursue my ability to communicate and connect with people into a service. And mainly what I do in terms of my mission and vision is to help emerging leaders as well as existing C-suite executives become more aware around the importance and significance of communication, not being a soft skill, but a critical skill towards their individual leadership as well as their overall business growth strategy and innovation.
Fantastic. Well, I think we're going to have a great conversation today. You both have diverse backgrounds And I'm sure we've all experienced, on some degree, maybe, this topic of mean girls. But I'm going to open with, what does this topic mean, and why is it important to have this discussion?
Well, for me, mean girls, the concept, especially as it applies to the workplace, is women from the time that we have had a significant presence in the workplace, whether it's corporate, nonprofit, there have been some significant barriers that we face from day one, whether that's making 75 cents for every dollar that a man makes, whether it's being the only person in the room and by default viewed as someone who is administrative or a secretary versus what our true skill set is. So anytime you have those type of barriers, you automatically are faced with a lot of challenges that cause you to be a little bit more angry, per se, than pleasant. So I think what is an advantage now as it relates to this conversation, what we can talk about is now that it's a really good time to be a woman, and now that our voice is being heard more, how do we have these conversations such as you're providing with this platform to understand not only what it means, but how do we alleviate the mean girl concept out of the workplace?
Sure. Absolutely. Kara, you want to add to that?
Well, it's interesting because I was at a dinner event that was after a large event in the community not that long ago, and this topic came up, and the other women around the table, all of them said, yes, we as women are not supportive of each other in the workplace, and that they had experienced it on a very regular basis. I mean, they were nodding their head, and I was a little stunned because, and I think I've been trying to think about it since that time, because I don't feel like I've had the kind of angry relationship issues as they were experiencing in my career. And I wonder if that has to do, because I came up and I've always been in sales. So I wasn't up for a job against somebody else. I was, or at least not directly, but I was always paid for what I brought in. You know, eat what you kill, kind of thing.
Yep.
And so I think my thought is that this may come from, and the reason that women may be less likely to be supportive of each other is when there's this feeling of scarcity. Only one of us is going to be able
Absolutely.
To sit at that board. Only mm-hmm. one of us is going to get mm-hmm. the management job. Only one of us is going to get this. And so we're not supportive of each other. That may be why women, and I've done no studying of this, but that may be why women have really excelled in areas where they are individual, like in sales, where you can, you know, you can show your stuff on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always had women who were very supportive of me. Honestly, the other side of it was more men being not supportive. But definitely I've talked with other people and I see that I am unique in that, and that a lot of people have that feeling that they've been, you know, victims of the mean girl, or even being a mean girl mm-hmm. sometimes. Now, I won't say, there are people who will say Kara is a mean girl, because I've been a manager.
No, probably.
I've been a manager a lot, and I've managed a lot of people. And I've had to reprimand and manage people but in a way that may have felt mean, or they perceived as mean, when it had it been a male,
exactly.
they would not have perceived that way. That it was just doing her job.
Sure.
So, yep. That could come. I'm not saying that people won't think that of me. I just haven't necessarily felt it that much myself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. And you spoke a little bit about you not having experiences personally, but maybe kind of from a backdoor approach, or mm-hmm. that you've been giving it, not intending to.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about if we have experienced this at all. So, Denise, have you experienced this?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, in all fairness, I feel as though I have played a role in being a mean girl as well. Not so much with the intention of making someone's work life a living hell, but more so going back to Kira's earlier point is, because when you're the only one, you tend to think of it as competition, mm-hmm. and you yep. don't want anyone else to potentially come in and take your position or outshine you. I think as you become more experienced within your career, the self-awareness develops. And for me, I participated in the African American Leadership Program through Cardinal Stritch University. And one of the biggest momental takeaways for me was my self-awareness. And there was anonymous feedback that I had solicited from people, and the underlying feedback that I had to really, you know, apply was I can come into a room and sometimes be intimidating. So that's where I owned maybe the potential of being a mean girl. And I had to evaluate why I was mm-hmm. being interpreted as sure. intimidating.
Yep.
But going back to the workplace and experiencing mean girls, most of the promotions that I received were by men.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had female managers, with the exception of two, and I've had many, many, many female managers, it was always difficult. And when you add on the layer, and I know we had talked about this earlier, of not only being a woman, but being an African-American woman mm-hmm. in an environment where it was not designed for either demographic,
sure.
that even brought further challenges. So I think for the listeners here to really understand as it relates to the mean girl is we have to start to understand and have conversations and leverage ERGs or employee resource groups with leadership, in particular at the C-suite level, the human resource level, to really have specific examples of how we are experiencing. Mm-hmm. Because I can't bring my true, best, authentic self to work every day mm-hmm. if I have to face the mean girl environment.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ends up, and for someone like Kira who runs a business, is if she's having to deal with constant turnover
right.
and constant, you know, recruitment and acquisition, she can't focus on developing the talent and the dream team that she has every, you know, intent to build as part of her organization.
Sure.
So it's really, this topic is relevant to companies being profitable. If you don't
Absolutely.
Handle it now, it's just going to be constant turnover
yes.
and constant low morale and frustration.
Well, that mean girls, whatever it is ultimately toxic, is mm-hmm. what it is. And that's, you don't want your staff or employees or anyone on your team to be fearful of coming to work because of that environment
right.
and situation. I had that experience with someone on my team a while ago who she was a little bit more senior, and that actually surprised me. But I guess it doesn't matter what age you are, right?
Right.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a younger intern on my team, and this senior female was unhappy with the way some of the things were being ran. And instead of having a conversation like adults do, was taking this young intern and gossiping, you know, and that just ultimately made the intern feel very uncomfortable mm-hmm. when this is her first exposure to a professional environment. So ultimately, I had a conversation with that senior and said, I'm just extremely disappointed in you because you have an opportunity to influence and empower a young, eager mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're doing the exact opposite.
Right.
So I think it's being aware of how you're influencing and projecting yourself is very, uh-huh. very important. But it's unfortunate because that one person can turn an entire culture into a very negative black hole.
Very toxic. Yes.
Which you don't want that to happen.
Exactly. And, you know, even as you, you know, I'm thinking back to when I saw the, you know, the Mean Girls movie and, you know, a lot of that comes from feeling insecure and feeling unsure of yourself mm-hmm. and reacting in a negative way. And so if a company can provide a way for people to express themselves, even if they're feeling that way, and if you can build relationship with mentors inside your company and outside of your company, you have a kind of a release valve,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to share those insecurities, you know, back in middle school, the mean girls were the girls who kind of grabbed together because they were insecure of themselves and bullied on mm-hmm. on another girl. It's kind of what happens in real life, you know, big girl life too. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's so many really cool things going on in Milwaukee now. You know, when I got this job, I was the first female publisher of this publication ever.
Yay!
Awesome. Congratulations.
But that's exactly what I heard from everybody. Now, I know that, you know, I got a high profile job and I'm very public and, you know, some people are going to just pat me on the back because, you know, that's what they do with people like that. But it was, for the most part, really honest and cheering and what can I do to help you? And so, you know, I don't know if it's a Midwestern thing or if it's a Milwaukee thing or whatever, but I think there are some really wonderful women out there who are want to be supportive and want to help each other. You know, I think of groups like Tempo and Professional Dimensions and Milwaukee Women Inc. and some others that are outstanding ways for you to build that network so that you have that support, even if you don't get it within your company.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's a really good point, is finding that mentorship, not only within a company, but outside.
We do an event that's coming up in February called Mentoring Monday. And it's all about, I have 60 mentors now that are signed up to do it. And then we bring in young women come in who are either some high schools, mostly college or new execs. And they come in, we do speed dating style mentoring. They get to meet like 7 women that they probably would never have a chance to meet in the next 10 to 15 years of their career all at once. And they have to be bold enough to reach out and talk with them. And it's some of the relationships have really lasted a long time. And so those kinds of things are things you can do for yourself to help protect yourself from that and also help protect you from becoming a mean girl, you know?
Yes, yes, very true.
And just to add on to Kira's point, actually, you know what, Kira? So if I'm interested in attending Mentoring Monday, how can I sign up for that?
You can go on our the Business Journal website, Milwaukee Business Journal, and just Google Milwaukee Business Journal and look up under events, and you can sign up right there. And if you want to be a mentor, we're pretty full of mentors this year, but next year we would need some more. But I still need, if you're in STEM, if you're in any STEM career, I would like to have a few more STEM mentors.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I think to Kira's point as well, or I feel this in Milwaukee, going back to the comment around organizations such as Tempo, I'm a member of their Emerging Women Leaders program, and we had our orientation yesterday, which consisted of some amazing women in Milwaukee, and you could feel the transformation of, I am a woman, I'm glad to be a woman, I'm glad to be around other women that are doing great things. And going back to the transformation reference, accountability is a big thing that I feel a lot of leaders now in Milwaukee are getting. The responsibility of knowing that in order to continue to really build off of this transformation of Milwaukee, whether it's the infrastructure, whether it's our government, whether it's the new talent of people coming from Chicago, because they're like, I can't continue paying $1 million for rent, so I'm going to take advantage of this great city of Milwaukee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then with the transformation, as you see that women are getting that we can empower ourselves and we are better as a union than we are as divided.
Exactly.
So the more that we continue to collaborate through organizations like Tempo and Professional Dimensions, events like Mentoring Monday through MBJ or the Milwaukee Business Journal, and then, you know, also, you know, reaching out to individuals like me who have had the experience of working for corporations, have been able to coach C-suite level executives on that. With all that combined, this is a perfect time to start really, really going from the mean girls to girls rock.
Advocating each other.
Yes, and advocating each other.
Yes. And we talked earlier, we talked a little bit about, is this maybe more happening more in corporate type environments than it is? Because I've worked primarily for medium to small sized companies, places where I could talk to a senior leader at the company if I picked up the phone, you know, not without any problems. But you've worked in corporate America.
This is my call to action, Kira and Lori. So I'm going to put this out like a PSA. Dear CEO, dear Chief Human Resource Officer, please, I beg of you, please consider who you're promoting, based on their technical aptitude into significant leadership or people management roles. Because from my experience, most of the individuals that were women that just drove me to leave the company, they were promoted based on their technical aptitude versus their ability to coach, lead, develop, inspire their team. And that is also what's playing a huge role into why mean girls exist in the workplace. Because if I'm mean to you, but I get a promotion based on my performance, then you're giving me the green light to continue to have that type of behavior. So that's my PSA to leaders of companies out there, is start to evaluate who you're promoting and what are the critical behavioral skill sets that should be in conjunction with the technical skill sets.
Absolutely. I mean, right now I think it's, you spoke of the word competition, and competition is good as long as it's healthy. And in the mean girls component is not healthy, obviously, because we've talked about it's toxic, and toxins in your body aren't good, you know, whether they're emotional or they're an actual physical toxin. So healthy competition, you know, what are some ways that we can encourage that? What are some ways that we can have positive relationships but still have that competitive fire that motivates us and gets us to perform the duties that we're supposed to be performing?
So I'll say this very briefly and quickly, and I'll selfishly plug my services. Have conversations. You know, and if you want to hire someone, aka the effective communication coach, to come and help facilitate those conversations, have it. And make sure the right people are at the table, and be prepared to be uncomfortable. And be prepared to be candid. But think about all the times where problems were solved. It's because the right people were having the right conversation.
Absolutely.
And they had an end in mind, and they asked for what they felt was the right thing for everybody involved. So, and you have to be clear on that. You have to be, you know, have to have those conversations with some clarity and some understanding that everybody's not going to get exactly what they need or exactly what they want.
Well, and you spoke to, it's going to be uncomfortable. But really, when you're hitting those boundaries of uncomfortable, that's where you're growing. And this is what it's all about, is we're growing as emotionally intelligent individuals, which is allowing us to evolve in the professional space to elevate each other. Which is the goal.
Absolutely.
That was beautiful.
And it's recorded.
All right. So, Denise, you did speak to this a little bit, and I'm curious, both of your opinions. Is it more than just gender? Is it racially infused? Is it ageism? You know, are these toxic activities happening beyond just, you know, women competing against women in a negative space?
Absolutely. You have to consider and remember that, you know, corporations were designed and dominated for white males. And when those corporations were established, women, people of color, people across different sexual orientations were not in mind. And I think what companies are doing now are taking a step back and looking at their existing as well as sought after consumer base, and understanding that in order for us to truly be the best employer, the best company, that our consumer base needs to be reflected as part of our human resources as well. So When you combine the gender, the race, the sexual orientation, the social economic background, all of those things play into the toxins that are also associated with the mean girl. So it's a lot that we have to manage, and there's a lot that we need to have conversations about, whether it's, again, the mean girls, it's the racism, the ageism, the sexism, and we have to do it now. And it should not take a hashtag. You know what I'm saying? Like, it cannot be a commercial effort. This has to be an authentic, genuine day-to-day practice that leadership is embedding in our DNA as employees so that we can come to work and be productive and be successful and be innovative.
We just we talked about that feeling of scarcity. And if you feel that you are you know, one of a minority of people in an area, whether it's female and of a person of color and a person of, you know, a different sexual orientation or whatever that would be, the more you have that, the more scarcity you feel, and you feel like only one of you is going to get promoted, or only one of you is going to get that really big new account, or if there's that feeling of scarcity, there's going to be more anxiety, more angst around that. And so I can see how that could happen in different communities, but we're better together. Mm-hmm. So if we can figure out a way to help lift each other up, I was just at a meeting and I didn't mention that this podcast to her, so I don't have permission to say, but I was just in a meeting with at a university, and it's a university that really prides itself on its diversity. And the person that I was talking to was telling me about going to their lunchroom at any given time, and you'll see pods of students of all different races and ethnicities and sexual orientation and everything, just in talking with each other. And she said there doesn't need to be this feeling of scarcity if we all can figure out how to make us all win. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think we are at a pivotal point in time where together we can take a really big step forward in these next few years.
Yep. Absolutely.
I definitely agree with that. So let's talk about that a little bit. What can we do to elevate each other and resolve the situation in the workplace?
Mentor each other. Help each other. You know, there's a terms out there that people have written a lot of articles on mentoring versus sponsoring. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I really think that that's really that big a difference, but apparently some really smart people do. So sponsoring is actually, you know, actually bringing somebody in for an interview, actually recommending somebody for a job, actually on purpose giving them, you know, high praise if you feel like they've done a really good job. And mentoring is more of a personal one-on-one. You know, I just naturally talk a lot. So I think I do both at the same time.
Sure.
But go out of your way to grab somebody who you think is might be struggling a little bit and bring them in and mentor them. Whether it's a real, like you have a very good, strong mentor that you work with, correct?
Absolutely.
On a regular basis.
Yes.
I have quite a few, but they're very casual. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like we have certain set meetings and that kind of thing, but it works for both of us and yours works for you. And,
yes.
But be intentional about doing that with other people who you can help. And you'll be surprised how many people reach out to you and help you as well.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan and advocate of surround yourself with those individuals you aspire to be like.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the more that you're doing that, the more you're going to become that type of individual. But then also try to motivate and mentor others to be like you. So if others are aspiring to be like you,
right,
open up that circle
right.
and be welcoming and have those
exactly.
conversations with those individuals.
I have two daughters. They're 26 and 24. One is going into corporate America in September. She's finishing her accounting degree and going into corporate America. And so I'm like, oh, what's corporate America like? Is she going to be around? And, you know, but you know what? She's a strong girl. She's, you know, a great, smart girl, and she'll do great. My other one is a musician. And you'd think that wouldn't have that. But holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only girl on stage, the only girl doing
She is dope, by the way, y'all. Download her. Her music is awesome.
She's
Sidebar.
Really.
Download her music on iTunes.
Siren is her stage name.
Nice.
But you know, it's everywhere. Reach up. Pretend they're your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if that was your daughter?
That's a great point.
Yeah, that is. Absolutely.
I just want to add to Kira's point. We talk about conversations and we talk about the awareness. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. And in order for us to have the necessary conversations, there's a lot of sensitivity right now on what I can say.
Yep.
And that's applicable to racism, sexual orientation. So people now have used social media to kind of say what they can't say to someone in person. And so it's totally now discounted the significance of having a face-to-face conversation.
Yes.
So I want people on both, and I'm speaking for me as well, I want us to also be open to people just being candid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have to allow people that may be on the other side. So like man to woman, you know, black to Hispanic, mm-hmm, white mm-hmm. to Asian, mm-hmm. Gay to straight. Mm-hmm. We have to come into the room with an open mind that we may agree to disagree, right, or we may disagree, but we can still leave with a more expanded awareness of mm-hmm. why we react the way we react. What offends me? You know, I'm 42, so, you know, someone pinching me on the butt may be on a good day. Oh, thank you. That was flattering. Yep. We're, you know, no, I'm serious.
Oh, this is true.
And we have to have those conversations mm-hmm. so that people know this is what bad feels like for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even though I had the intention of coaching Kira, mm-hmm. not that I am, but I'm just saying, for example, my language, my tone may be offensive to her. I could say the exact same thing to you, Lori, and you wouldn't be offended at all. Mm-hmm. So we have to have those proactive conversations right. on what offensive is mm-hmm. to me
correct.
And what compliments and flattery is to me.
Right.
If we don't have those conversations and if we're not open about it, mm-hmm. then I'm going to only assume certain things and I'm not going to be as open and I'm not going to bring my best self to the table.
And if you truly want in your heart to understand something that you don't agree with or don't understand, then, you know, because I asked that. When this topic came up in the room, I was the only white person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm just wondering, you know, does this happen within races as well? I'm curious. And everybody just answered and was kind and because I truly, really wanted to know. And it wasn't... But if you truly are asking mm-hmm. and you really want to understand and be more embracive of the other person and their differences, almost everybody
mm-hmm.
will be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No one's half the battle. Like they said,
right.
growing up watching G.I. Joe.
Yep.
Right.
No one's half the battle. Ask the question. Have the conversation.
Absolutely. Yep. And this is something I preach to everyone I talk to, my students that I teach. At UWM and my team here at Keystone Click, it's never assume. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a phrase that goes with what happens mm-hmm. when you make an assumption.
Right. Yep.
I'll just put that in the show notes. But ask. You're mm-hmm. going to be a better person because of it. You're
right.
showing that you're truly, genuinely interested.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome at the end of the day is going to be better.
Right.
A better deliverable, a better paper you're writing, whatever mm-hmm. it is, because you've got clarification and you understand what's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was another thing I was going to say, and I forgot. It was in alignment with what you were talking about. Shoot.
No
that's
worries.
That's okay.
Sidebar, this tea is delicious, too.
It's really good.
Oh, good.
What is it, blueberry hibiscus?
It's Rishi.
Yeah.
Are they a sponsor?
Oh, man.
Rishi? No. Could be a sponsor of your podcast.
Mm.
Sure, I'll work on that. Hey, Rishi, give us a call.
Yes.
All of our guests drink your tea.
And it's delicious.
Oh, that's really good conversation that we've had here. But I think we're about to wrap it up. So any final words or advice that you'd like to offer our listeners with regards to this topic?
Reach out. And if you feel like you're being bullied in the workplace, reach out. You know, talk to that person and ask them why they're behaving that way and tell them how you feel. And if that doesn't work, because sometimes it doesn't work, then hopefully you have resources. And if you don't have resources within your company, reach out outside your company mm-hmm. to get help, because 99.9% of the time it can be resolved.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that. Thank you, Denise.
I echo what Kira had mentioned. And just to add, we have one life
mm-hmm.
and we spend a significant amount of hours working.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about if you owned one car, how you would treat that one car that you'd have to drive for the rest of your life. I just encourage listeners as well as myself to do whatever you need to do to bring your best self to any situation, whether that's work, your family, extracurricular. And if there's any toxins or barriers that are delimiting, address it. So I really echo what Kira said, and I try to put it in perspective to where you understand that this is something that cannot continue to happen. And businesses and companies will continue to see talented people leave if mm-hmm. we don't address this and manage this. So again, I thank you for having us on and having this topic, because this is something that's definitely relevant. And I look forward to seeing the progress as it takes place as a result of your listeners on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm just going to add, as far as some closing words, that something you spoke of, Denise, was self-awareness and knowing yourself, but also looking and putting yourself in that other person's shoes and saying, how would I respond to the message that I'm saying right now?
Yep.
And I think that's really important to not only think about yourself, but about the other person.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Kira, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Email is the best way, klafond@bizjournals.com, or just go on the Milwaukee Business Journal website and you'll find my name under the contacts. But you can also call me, 414-908-0584.
Fantastic. I will include that information in the show notes. And Denise, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you?
Sure. You can email me at Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E, at RealComCoach. So that's R-E-A-L-C-O-M-M coach.com. You can also visit my website, which is RealComCoach.com, or call me, text me, 414-469-1941.
Great. And we will definitely include that information in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, Kira and Denise, for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Kira and Denise for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great episode as we continue the conversation on networking, building your community, and relationships. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.